Good morning. Thanks for joining us again here. It's Sunday, April 26th.
Sixth.
Sixth. See, time runs together when you're stuck at home and getting through the quarantine. So we're happy that you've joined us again today. And I'm here. I'm Jeremy Fort. This is my wife, Kara.
Okay.
And thanks for hanging out again another day.
Another week.
Another week. So we've got a few songs. We've got some silver linings, a few birthdays, a message that is
We're
hopefully
still
still
figuring
kind of
out.
coming together. We'll see how that goes, and then we'll share in communion again. And again, just want to say thank you for joining us, and thank you for participating with us. And we look forward to spending the next little bit of time together with you.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind. Chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yeah.
shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Hi, everyone. We miss you. Can't wait to get back to church. Lyon says hi.
Hello.
We love you. And Lyon misses his coffee buddies. We miss you guys very much. Stay healthy. Stay happy.
Our silver lining for Dick and Donna Vosser is our kids and their families and our grandkids going to church together and camping and four-wheeling and just hanging out and having a good time together, doing arts and crafts, sometimes cooking, just whatever we can do to have fun together.
Jumping for joy because it's Marie's birthday this week.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Aunt Marie. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Marie. We're so glad that it's your birthday and that you're older than we are. And I'm really glad to have an older sister, the oldest sibling, so our parents could practice parenting on you and get it all worked out before Becky and I came around. But we wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. We're standing in our yard and enjoying the weather. I hope you're getting good weather, lovely weather in Twin Falls also.
So, happy birthday from Boise.
Are you ready?
That makes me mess up.
What part this makes you mess up?
The cha-cha-cha's. Like, make me think of the cha-cha-chas instead of the happy birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try it anyway.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you, cha-cha-cha. Happy birthday to you, cha-cha-cha. Happy birthday, dear.
All right.
It felt like an alligator. Okay, sorry.
That's a baby shark. Daddy shark. Daddy shark. Welcome back. It was you guys sounded really good in your music. It was kind of fun to shoot, have a little fun with an extra camera. So
fun for you.
It was a lot of fun, and Brian and Chelsea Maria sounded really good. And
they were awesome.
And so thank you guys for doing that every week. I know it's not easy to do.
It is not easy.
But we really appreciate it, and I know that people listening do as well. So we had kind of had an idea. I had an idea in my head this week, and I hadn't shared it with you, and then you read an article that seemed to kind of marry up with the same concept, and we haven't really had a chance to talk a lot about it. So you're going to maybe see it come together a bit here live right at this moment. But did you want to share the article that you found?
So we found it was just a little blurb on Facebook that
my second dad, Jimmy Leonard in Arizona, posted. So this was kind of interesting. It looks like, I can't confirm this, but it looks like most of the lockdown happened around March 23rd-ish. Mm-hmm. So if that were to be true, and some of the quarantine lifting is looking like it's, at least in Idaho, it is lifting May 1st. So that is exactly 40 days, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So the Latin root of the word quarantine is 40. I didn't know that. So what does the Bible say about 40? So Noah's flood lasted 40 days.
Yeah.
40 years, Moses fled Egypt.
Right.
40 days, Moses stayed on Mount Sinai to receive the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus lasted 40 years. Jesus fasted for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
40 days is the optimum number of weeks for human gestation. 40. I love this one. 40 days for a woman to rest after giving birth. I missed out on that one.
I didn't read that.
I don't know where that came from.
Okay. I don't mind adding it. It sounds like a good idea. You all deserve it. That's for sure.
A group of theologians think the number 40 represents change. It is the time of people. It is the time preparing a person, a people, to make fundamental change. So something will happen after these 40 days. A lot of people believe and have seen that during this quarantine, you know, the rivers are cleaning up, vegetation is growing, the air is becoming cleaner because of less pollution. There's less theft and murder. And it's kind of an opportunity for healing to happen and the earth kind of having, for the first time in many years, a rest of the land. So that 40 is kind of interesting, and it's the year 2020, and 2020 is perfect vision. So it was just kind of a
20
little
plus 20 is 40,
right? That gives you
the signs. It's all signs.
It's all here, people.
It's all signs. Wow.
But that was kind of an interesting look at things, and there were a few nuggets there that I hadn't known about.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I've done prayer, like.
You've done a 40 days of prayer.
Yeah, 40 days
before.
Of prayer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was.
That actually had an effect, because I think you.
Well,
I think
yes.
You took 40 days of prayer specifically.
So I was finding him really annoying. I know that's hard to believe, but.
It's true.
And there was a book that looked as if it would make him less annoying. And now we know that there is no book, first of all. So that's the first thing I learned. Second thing I learned was it was a book called Praying for Your Husband. And really, it's about praying to be a better wife. So I thought it was going to be praying for him to be a better husband. And it really just was about God looking at me.
Except there was a moment in that I was traveling back east.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I started kind of sharing about some things that I wanted to change about myself and mm-hmm. be better about.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I learned you had been praying for me.
Yes.
And so, oddly enough, it
worked.
Kind of worked. It was very strange.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like maybe 10 years ago now.
But I'm thinking, well, look.
What was I doing? What was that prayer? It's all my fault.
There's two things to consider. That one, you know, this does come with its challenges. If you want this. It's going to come with some challenges, but, and two, 40 is clearly not enough. You need probably 400 to 4,000
days
of prayer to straighten this out. This is a mess. So, well, it's interesting because I had the thought, what I had been thinking about as we were coming out of this was that it felt like it was about 40, 50 days, somewhere in that range.
You're so nice, because it felt like 5,000 for me.
Well, some days felt like that, too.
Like
they did occasionally.
Every day runs into each other. You're not
but
sure.
You've
is
got
it
kids,
March 99th at this point?
You've got kids you're dealing with and everything else. It's You've been a trooper.
And when you
that.
You have all your family at home and you work from home, the line, you don't really leave, you know, like people leave an office and now everyone's working from home.
Yeah, and
so
we didn't really have that. But the thought I had is these moments in time where your life gets, a person's life or a culture's life or a people's life gets interrupted.
Yes, a huge disruption.
Something happens mm-hmm. to shake up literally not just your world, sure. but almost the world.
It happens a lot in business, right?
It does.
Places will change things, how business is done.
But I think it caused me to think back thinking back into moments in scripture where there were disruptions like that.
Sure.
And what preceded that, what came out of that, what lessons might be there to be learned. Mm-hmm. And then I had been thinking about the temptation of Jesus. I had been thinking about Israel going through the wilderness. I had been thinking about these things not putting together the number 40 mm-hmm. until you mentioned it. And right. I thought, well, everything I was thinking about kind of had to do with the number that referenced around the number 40. And I just want to be really clear. I'm not a numbers guy in scripture. I'm not one of those where it's like 20 plus 20 and it's the 40 and this is a sign and we should all be like building. But that is not me. It's not what I'm about.
But you're good with numbers in Excel.
I do think that the authors in scripture will leave you breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. They will put breadcrumbs along the way to say, some of these things, the breadcrumb is there to say, I want you to pay attention. I'm trying to draw your attention back mm-hmm. to something that happened previously.
Right.
And there's a connection here that I want you to make. Not a calculation that I sure. want you to make about what's happening. And I think that's what caught my attention out of this mm-hmm. is what lesson is there? What wisdom is there we can pull as these quarantines begin to get lifted?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot.
We know that our governor made that announcement just last week that we're going to start open, like houses of worship are okay to reopen on the 1st of May, but you have to have all these protocols in place. And for us, we have a number of people who are at risk. And honestly, I'm not champing at the bit to get out to be the first one out to try this. We need to put some things in place and sure. figure it out and kind of work through some of that. So we're still evaluating the date we want to get back together. Mm-hmm. But during the next 2 to 3 months, they're looking to reopen mm-hmm. theaters,
sure.
stadiums, things like that. And what's it going to be like when you go back out?
It's going to be a new normal. I don't think it will ever go back to the normal we knew before this.
I think you're right. And I believe what I was thinking about through the week was we can use this as a moment to pause and evaluate what's changed mm-hmm. during this time, especially things that have been a positive thing, sure. a positive change, because there are families, you've shared with me, you've read seen a number of things in social media and elsewhere that there's very positive change coming. Families are getting together. They're doing things. Yeah, they're figuring out how to do stuff.
They've done songs together.
We've tried to make sourdough bread 4 times now. It's not worked. But you know, every day it's like, right. you know, we get to share in the joy of it's growing. And then we get to mourn in the fact that our yeast didn't make it. And so my thought becomes, do we want to go back
sure.
to exactly the way that it was prior to this? Or do we have an opportunity to maybe learn some things from this about ourselves and take the best of that back?
Well, I think
take that forward with us.
Our culture right now finds that busyness is a certain kind of currency. Well, I'm really busy. I've got XYZ. I'm really busy. I'm on my way to do whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. I suffer from that, but I think when you stop, and we have all had to literally stop and change the way that we're approaching life, we can look at some of those things and think, you know what? I don't really miss all of the mm-hmm. scurrying around and the 10 trips to...
Well, and not only that, I think in our core, if we really step back from this event around the world, but even regionally, locally, has revealed how fragile our systems and structures sure. and everything are that we rely on a regular
right,
basis.
Right.
And I think that's important to remember, to really step back and think, gosh, maybe I haven't had everything that I'm used to having around mm-hmm. me. And I'm actually surviving through this. I'm, you know, it's inconvenient. I may have been in need of a few things, but sure. I can get some help and mm-hmm. I can essentially do those things. And but the system itself, I mean, financially and employment-wise, and that it's revealed really how fragile things are, and it will these next several months, perhaps years, are going to show how resilient we can be as a people as we go through that.
Absolutely.
And I think that there's a time to. I this was the week I didn't watch a lot of news. Because all of a sudden it became the finger point thing of, well, when did you, and you should have, and this and that and that.
Been that.
And it's finally, that part has finally returned to normal. And I think there's going to be plenty of time to explain the failings and where did this come from and all of that. But now is really, I think now's the time to say, gosh, in 3 or 4 months, what part of my life do I want to carry forward with me?
Right.
What change do I want to bring along the way?
I was seeing that. I love that.
And I think that for Christians, for people who follow Jesus, maybe you've had an opportunity. I know I've had some time to reflect on just some different ethics. It's very strange to be at home and feel like I'm still disconnected from the kids in that because, my time schedule is a little different than the others. And so it's been very obvious to me about some things that I want to make changes on. I don't necessarily know exactly how to do that just yet, but there are some changes that I want to make and I have a feeling that other people want to do that too, that they want to begin to see how to do some of that.
The time allows you some space to really think through some things and to go a little deeper and sink into maybe the core of who you are and what you believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And more than that, I think too, for myself as a Christian, and I would say for other Christians or followers of Jesus, that I there's a little bit of uncertainty walking back out of the door back into the world. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be afraid.
Sure.
But at the same time, I want to be wise.
Mindful.
I want to be mindful. Mm-hmm. I want to pay attention to that stuff. I saw another story this week of another pastor who went down to the virus because, he just didn't believe. He just thought God was going to protect him from all of this. And I that just boggles my mind how someone can try to leverage faith, leverage God, try to put God in that position. I thought of the term of making like the holy mask, right? It's the Jesus mask. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't work that way. And so we're not immune to what's going on. We're not going to be immune to what's happening, the dangers that are going to be around us, but we've got to go back out and do what we do as humans and try to take the best of what we've learned during this time,
right.
Be mindful of the people around us and the world around us. And I don't know, I think that that's going to be an interesting challenge and people need to be wise about that as they do that.
I think people have been noticing what they're really truly grateful for, right? It might have just been a week where they did something on a regular basis that they met with friends or family, even coffee, grabbing coffee with a friend or something. I think when you aren't allowed certain things, you kind of see the preciousness and the value of what's important to you.
Yeah, you do. And that value of what's important, when I hear that and I think the story in Scripture, humans have been, the story of humans in Scripture has been really kind of clear. It's been crystal clear. We are constantly trying to be better than the next person.
Sure.
We are irritated when somebody has what we don't have.
Right.
We are bent on conquering whatever we can conquer. And in every scenario, except one, every human along the way in the story of Scripture, except for one, can't get rid of that desire to build, to conquer, to overcome, to rule, to just to control. It starts with a brother on a brother. One brother receives, something good. The other one, he just didn't receive what was, the one is said, oh, you did a good job. The other one's like, mm-hmm. And that alone was enough to just, well, I got to kill him. I have to conquer and overcome. We see I mean, and this story just continues to repeat about how we're constantly trying to build our kingdoms, our empires, our what we control. And this could be a chance to step back and say, okay, maybe if I turn that energy, maybe if I turn that desire to how can I use my powers for good?
Right.
Now, with starting within my own family, which I am no expert at doing, I'm learning how to do that, even today, learning how to do that. But with that mindset, walking out is a different mindset. And is it? And this is where it synced up for me when you mentioned the 40 days thing earlier this week, because I was thinking about the temptation of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that moment. It's over in Luke chapter 4, and I don't know why I was thinking about it, but I was. And what happened to me is I went and I looked it up, reread it again, and noticed that it quotes a psalm, Psalm 91. There's a quote in there. And if you don't know the story, the temptation of Jesus,
yeah, why don't you explain that a little bit?
Just kind of give that the real quick version of it. But Jesus goes into the desert. It's the wilderness or the desert, which is code word in scripture for a place that's not made for human habitation. It's really, think of it as thorns, no water,
dry,
no food.
Arid land.
It's a place where humans are not meant to exist. And oftentimes through scripture, we see wilderness and deserts attached with the number 40. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a breadcrumb. You can go back and say, 40 days and 40s, sure. Do
this
we see wildernesses
in
this? This is something that kind of flows along here a bit. And so he's out there, and we find that that's where this character in scripture called the Satan or the adversary shows up to tempt him. Mm-hmm. And so he's out, he's hungry, he's thirsty, he's been out there for 40 days. And the adversary comes to him and says, command this stone to turn to bread. And Jesus has a response for him, and he's like, you know, humans don't live on bread alone. There's more to life than just what we put in our stomach. And so that didn't go over well.
And it's like two brothers at it.
It is a little bit like that, right? And one of the next ones that shows up is the adversary comes and says, worship me, and I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world. Mm-hmm. Now think about that from that aspect of the story. You're hungry, command this and do that. Nope, I don't need to. Food's not going to control me.
The context is he's been in a desert.
He's been in a desert for 40 days, right?
And he's contemplating
exactly
what's going to happen to him. So there has not been food.
Hey,
no
Jesus,
water,
worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. You can conquer everything. You can be the ruler of it all. You can have it all. That's another core human desire that we have to just, you know, to amass and build and have everything we can. And he says, No, that's not what it's about. You worship God. I'm not worshiping you. You serve him. You be loyal to him. And so Jesus turns that one down. And then the last one is the one that caught my attention. It's the one about the psalm. The adversary takes him up onto a high point on the temple and says, jump down onto the rocks. We got to see that spot when we were in Jerusalem. And because the psalm says that your foot will not be dashed on the stones, that God will send his angels to save you. And the answer from Jesus is, don't tempt God like that. And that's the end of the conversation. What's interesting about that is that Psalm 91 is the very psalm that I have watched people quote about plagues and pestilences and diseases, because it's the very psalm that says God will protect you from diseases, will protect you from plagues, will protect you from this stuff. It's the one that people have used to really, I think, misread that. It's the psalm that they've used to essentially say, you're going to be safe as a believer. Here's the crazy thing about this. This was the connection. When you hit it, I thought, well, maybe there's something to this. It's that very same Psalm 91 that the adversary, Satan, the devil, is quoting to Jesus. Jump off of this like you don't have a care in the world. God will just take care of everything. You know, he'll just save you. Put yourself in danger intentionally. You know, try In other words, think of only yourself as you go through all of this. It's the very psalm quoted by Jesus' enemy. And Jesus is like, no, it doesn't work that way. And that just kind of hooked up with me to say, after 40 days, Jesus came out of that with a little more wisdom. He came out of that going, okay, I'm here to serve my Lord and my God. I'm not going to test and tempt him. I'm going to walk in this world, and I'm going to be okay with whatever comes my way. I'm going to just allow that to come my direction, work out and do my ministry, not try to, to conquer the world. In fact, that happened often where people were just waiting for him to come in and conquer everything and take control and finally rule it and let's build this kingdom. But the kingdom he was building had nothing to do with what was happening in Jerusalem or in and around Israel.
It didn't look like anything on earth.
It didn't look like anything on earth at all that they had ever seen. It just made me begin to think to myself, as we come out of this time, it can be scary. It's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And different can be very scary, sure, and unsettling. And for people who are walking in Christ, following Jesus, I'm not saying it doesn't have to be scary. Be wise, be mindful, but you don't have to walk in fear with it. We still have to do the things in and around this world and our families.
The due diligence. Yeah. Sure.
And we've got to go into that with some degree of confidence that even if it turns out the worst, then for us, there's still a future hope. That through the resurrection, there is a hope for us. That the point Jesus was trying to make is, I haven't come to earth to build a kingdom here. I've come to build a kingdom somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like people have to die to themselves every day and almost resurrect themselves with the hope of what their tomorrow looks like. Because to your point, everyone trying to build a kingdom, that's all ego-based. That's,
yes, absolutely.
That's what can I do to make myself bigger, better? But if you kind of almost die to yourself so that you can rise up again in a different faith, then that has some meaning behind
it. Well, and if we're going to put work and effort into doing something, why don't we put, instead of trying to work to get back to the life that I had on January 1st of this year.
I kind of laugh just thinking about January. Like,
right?
What I thought of the year to come.
How it was going to go.
I felt like there was going to be some real change, but I had no idea. I don't think anyone had any.
It's almost as though once these things lift, it's like there's a new January. It's like there's a new New Year's coming.
It just feels so different, yeah.
And maybe we can take a look at how we reshape that vision of what we want to be and how we want our lives to work out. Now is an opportunity to do that. Now is a chance to actually say, okay, I want to reshape how this looks. I want to maybe move into the future a little differently now. Mm-hmm. And rather than spending the energy to try to restore perhaps everything that we've lost, maybe we can say, is what I lost worth restoring?
Sure. Do you think, when you look at the quarantine and it's 40 years and you were describing how Satan was tempting Jesus, do you feel like this time has been a time where everyone has been tempted in different ways in this short period of time?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like how so?
Let's say not tempted, but tested. Let's change the word.
Okay, sure.
To tested. Sure. Our oldest daughter went to pick up a pizza and had that moment standing outside of the door. Do I put on my mask or not?
Right. To pick up a pizza.
Mm-hmm. It's a testing. And hers was not about, a safety thing or thinking of others. Hers is her two little sisters are in the car and they're going to rat her out if she doesn't do it.
Totally.
It's a test.
Sure. Well, the first time you put it on, you do feel kind of silly.
But I would use her also as an example of, no volleyball, no speech, which is really hard for her.
Mm-hmm. All those extracurriculars.
But it's also a moment for her to step back and say, how much of that do I want to add back into my life? Mm-hmm. For us, it hasn't been as much. We've picked up some additional things to do. But I know there are a number of people who it has had a radical impact on their life. And I mean, think of everyone who's homeschooling.
Sure.
And I'm going to guess there's a lot of parents, probably a large number of moms, that absolutely didn't think they could do it. Mm-hmm. Probably a number of single dads, too. I got
absolutely.
That, you know. Who didn't think they could do it.
Sure.
That found out.
And they can do it.
They can do it. That have had conversations, maybe more time with their children around a table, trying to just work through some homework and learning fourth and fifth grade math again. And maybe hearing things from their kids they've not heard, picked up on challenges maybe they had never seen, were able to impart some parental wisdom that may not have had that opportunity to do.
Sure.
And so is that when you first come into that, does it feel like a test? Absolutely it does. And
the then whole when pantry you, feels like a test to me.
And then when you make it through and you look on the other side and you think, wow, maybe I didn't know I had that in me. And that's what a test does, right? A test reveals, it doesn't reveal what you don't know. It reveals what you know. A test doesn't reveal what you fail at. A test reveals what you can actually do.
True.
And I think there's people who will look at that and say, okay, I guess I made it through that. I can do that. And so to me, there is another side of this coin that we can pay attention to. I don't know if that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gave me an opportunity to do a Jeremy flip there. I appreciate that.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, it's our children, right? We can have one kid come home and get an 8 out of 10, you know, and be like, I got 8 right. And the other one going, I missed 2. Right. It's just all that perspective. And that's what I'm saying is that we have an opportunity to look back on these moments and say, perhaps I can do more than I thought I could. And if you can, maybe you can take more into the world. More into your families and your neighborhoods, more of that positive.
Or that caring.
That maybe outreach. You didn't think you could do.
Generosity, absolutely.
Maybe you didn't think you could do that before. And so that may be reading a lot into the whole temptation of Jesus thing, but I think it's an interesting connection to the 40 days that after you come out of this period feeling cramped up in a home and oh my gosh, that now's the time. That's the moment that his ministry kicks off. That's when it begins.
So the period of change happens and then real growth comes from that.
I made it through the 40 days. If you ever think about Moses, this just kind of hit me earlier today. You read it again there. He's...
Poor Moses.
You know, he's in Egypt. He's raised in Pharaoh's household. He has his moment of hot anger, in a moment of hot anger when he... protects a slave by killing an Egyptian, and he flees Egypt for 40 years. So just pause for just a minute. He's out for 40 years, then he comes back to rescue Israel, and then he's at a mountain for 40 days, and then at a mountain for another 40 days. Turns out that they're at that mountain for a year, and now it's another 40 years in the wilderness. But think for Moses. He had one of two ways to go. He could have thought to himself, well, another 40 years, or I've done 40 before. And I've seen amazing things come out of the end of this. So I can't wait to see what comes out of the end of this next 40. It will be an even greater thing. So sometimes going through that is just...
Nobody likes a test, but it proves kind of how strong they are.
Yeah. So anyway, that was what I had thought about when you mentioned it. I appreciate you giving me a chance to rant about some of that.
Rant? You don't rant.
I never rant. Ever. Okay, sometimes.
We made it.
So we want to thank you for joining us. We're going to pray and then we'll share in communion. Today we have graham crackers. We'll see how that goes. So hopefully one of these days we'll have to show you some bloopers, some communion bloopers. It's kind of interesting. But more than that, we want to let you know that we want to encourage you. We continue to pray for you guys. We kind of get the sense that things may be lifting a little bit, and we're going to come through this together and hopefully come out of this stronger and maybe a better people as we do that. And so that's really kind of our hope, is to see this light at the end of the tunnel and learn ways to take our faith in Jesus and the life that's within us forward into the people around us. So let us pray for you, and then we'll share in communion. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time today. I want to thank you that you've given us nice days outside recently for the kids to play. Father, I know that around the country and around the world, not everyone has had, they've experienced loss through this virus, through just regular products of life and living on earth, through weather-related events and that. Father, our prayers are just with them, that you would strengthen them, you would give them your peace, you would just hold their hearts, cup their hearts in your hand. And Father, for those who are getting ready to go back into this world in kind of a measured way, we would just ask that you would give us courage as we do that, give us wisdom again on how to do that safely and be mindful of other people. And Father, would you give us patience as we do that and we have to work with others and we have new systems and protocols to follow. And Father, would you continue to give us that wisdom and patience as we begin to walk back into life with our families and what that looks like, and help us to make wise choices about what to stay involved in and where to put our time, not just for ourselves, but for those that we love around us. So, Father, we ask, as always, that you would give us that wisdom and then just fill us with courage to make those choices and live this life the way you would expect us to. And, Father, give us that courage to share the good news of your resurrection, that it's available to anyone who would believe and follow you, that as they go out, they don't have to have that fear that this is it, that that's all they have, but rather they have a hope that they look forward to. And so, Father, give us that courage to share that good news. We love you. We thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are so happy you can join us again for a little communion. Today we have
graham crackers.
Graham crackers and a form of chocolate milk here. So this is a good day. Mm-hmm. Graham crackers and milk are a
childhood favorite.
Childhood memory of mine. Didn't always have graham crackers at our house.
But a grandma but had it.
A grandparent.
Oh, yeah.
Almost always did. And at my house, we had blue milk. Do you know what blue milk is?
No.
Blue milk is the skim milk, because apparently at that time in the 80s, fat milk, milk with fat in it, was going to kill you.
That was a big thing, right? Sure.
That was right before coffee was going to kill you, which was then shortly followed with cholesterol with eggs. And so,
and then butter.
So I have a memory, a lifetime of blue milk.
It was literally blue?
Have you ever seen skim milk? It's blue.
It's thin.
It's blue. Hmm. It's blue. And it did not work with graham crackers. And every now and again... I don't know if it was one of my brothers that would like, because they worked at the grocery store where I grew up, would come home with a little
quart stuff
of whole milk, or if they were out, or if mom just, maybe she needed it, she might have needed it for a recipe. And I would find a graham cracker, and it just right until it was at that moment of soaking and falling off, but just before that right in, I have great memories of that.
Well, I'm glad we could...
This is a very positive memory. So as we kind of talked last week with communion, it's the whole point of communion was fellowship. That these are symbols of an ancient meal that was established so long ago. The Passover meal was one that was established, but it's even prior to that. Prior to Passover. which is about 5,000 years ago, one of the first things we see happening when God comes down and spends time with a human is they have a meal together. Abraham has a meal with God and his visitors that are with him. And so eating together is something that just runs really deep in ancient cultures and especially through scripture. So it's no surprise at all. It shouldn't be any surprise to us that's what this kind of comes down to. And for people who are students of scripture, you'll know that there are some, you know, people will try to put rules down around this, but I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, was one of the writers, really took issue with how this was being done in some churches. And I'm glad that many of you have said, this doesn't make you feel weird. We want you to be a part of this with us. Because one of Paul's challenges he had in one of the churches in a place called Corinth over in Asia Minor and Greece is people would come kind of in a potluck form for communion. They would do it in somebody's home. But here's what would happen. They would tell a certain group of people, we're meeting at 5 o'clock. Okay? And that group would bring the good wine, and they'd bring the good food, and they would bring all the good stuff. And then the people they didn't want there, they would say, we're meeting at 7 o'clock. So that when the people that they didn't want to be with would show up later, there wouldn't be much food, there wouldn't be any wine left, it essentially be gone. And Paul takes this whole just massive swipe at that church to say, how dare you do that? Mm. How dare you treat this communion, this Lord's Supper in that way? Everyone needs to have the opportunity to share in what's there, to have a seat at that table. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that we're doing it with whatever we have, because quite honestly, I've thought to myself a few times, what we should really do for communion is like film lunch, and then let's just all have lunch together, because it's supposed to be a meal together. And so that's what this represents, is you have been invited to have a seat at the table, and everyone is welcome to have a seat at that table, whether you have something to bring or not. And you're invited to be a participant in that. And it's that reminder to say, someday, one of the first actions we're going to have someday is sitting and having that meal with Jesus. We get to be at that table, whatever that may look like. It's going to be a big one, but whatever that may look like, the picture in the mind is that we do this remembering that there's a hope that we get to sit around that table with him someday too. And so with that, let's share in communion and join us. Some good memories right there. We should have been doing that every week. That was good.
Fourth time's a charm.
That's right, exactly. So, well, we want to thank you again for joining us this week, and
we miss you very much. We're thinking about you,
and we will have more information hopefully as we get more guidance on them reopening some things. We'll be planning to meet with our leadership and talk with some of our other groups that use our church and start to figure some of that out together. So we will keep you posted on what our plans are for reopening and getting back together. But in the meantime, we'll probably see you again for at least another few weeks, I'm guessing, at a minimum, and keep you updated and posted. But with that, God bless you. Have a great week. And
hopefully
we'll see you next Sunday.